Welcome to We're Talking Sports. Hey, we're Sports Talk here today. I'm David Williams, and alongside with me today is Mr. Tim Taylor. How you doing, Tim?
I'm good, David.
It's a great day.
The weather has been phenomenal this week. I came back from spring break, and it was 75 degrees here. And today, it's a little colder, close to 50, but it's still sunny and beautiful outside, so I can't complain.
Yeah, I love everything about this week right now, especially with WashU, men and women, in the Final Four. This is a great time. The NCAA tournament, Division I tournament, has just started. Everyone's filled out their brackets. Everyone's in their office pools or whatnot. I'm just so excited. This is the college basketball version, the Final Four version of K-Word Sports Talk.
Yeah, we will be talking all college basketball this week. You know why? Because this is definitely the week to do it. I mean, I'd talk about this a little bit more, but I'd argue that the first round of the NCAA tournament is by far the most exciting one.
Oh, that's where all the Cinderellas start. I love it. It's funny. I was talking with my roommate the other day that these first 4 days, that's like almost the whole tournament.
Exactly.
You know, that's all the drama.
Exactly.
You see these teams like Western Kentucky come out of nowhere. You can't name one player on the team, and then all of a sudden they're dancing in the Sweet 16.
Who knows? Western Kentucky won last night, beating Illinois. And who knows? Maybe they will win their next round game. It's always that you're right, though. That is the exciting part of the tournament, to see who that team is going to be that's a lower seed that's going to make it to the Sweet 16, and in some years, even the Elite Eight. So be interested to see it. But like you said, WashU, men and women at the Final Four. There was actually a bus team. There were two buses that left, one last night to go to Salem, Virginia to see the men, and one leaving today, this morning, early this morning, to go to Holland, Michigan, Hope College, to see the women play. So very excited to see what happens. Both games tonight.
Both games tonight. This is huge. Well, in the early evening, yeah, about 5 o'clock for the men.
Mm-hmm.
This is huge. Now, you look at the WashU team. We are the reigning national champions. Returning, we have a healthy Sean Wallace. Over Ross Kelly is also there. Aaron Thompson. Tyler Nading has been going crazy. I mean, the last game that he played, I listened to Jeff broadcast, and hopefully we'll get Jeff in a little bit later to call in from Salem, Virginia. But Tyler Nading, senior, he's going out with a bang. He had a huge, huge game, in the Elite Eight. So I'm really excited to see how they're going to do today. They're playing Guilford College in North Carolina. It'll be interesting. I would consider WashU as the favorites. They knocked off the number one team in the country last week. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, and why don't we just go through it? Just a brief recap of both the men's and the women, how the road to the Final Four, as it were. Start with the men. Their first round, they played Lawrence University. This was in Elmhurst, Illinois. They won that game by a mere 2 points, 67-65. And that's just the beauty of it, man. You know, something else goes wrong, they're out in the first round. But no, yeah, they win that game, and now they're in the Final Four. It's amazing.
And just to interject, when you look at their bracket, what they had to deal with, that entire road up to the Final Four, it's just insane. I mean, when you look at the budgets of the D3 schools, they don't necessarily divvy up the seeds as much as they should. So WashU was in a bracket where there are like six out of the top eight teams in the country in their bracket.
Their bracket was called the Bracket of Death. They were 25-2 this year, so you figure they would probably have a pretty easy road to the Final Four. That was not the case. And Lawrence was a very good team. In that game, the leading scorer was Aaron Thompson, 26 points. just phenomenal there. Phenomenal game by him to end the win. On the losing side, Lawrence's John Decker scored 17. Next, they played Wisconsin Whitewater on March 7th, and this was also in Elmhurst, Illinois. They win that game by a final score of 73-70. Yeah.
It's a 3-point game. And the next game, was the next game against number one?
Well, let me look at the bracket. I have the bracket right here. So let me pull the bracket up. Let's see.
But really, throughout this tournament, with the exception of last weekend, WashU has been playing in close games. A 2-point game, 3-point game. These have been top teams in the country. So, I mean, when you get to that upper echelon, these are all going to be close games. So, Guilford College, I expect the same thing. This will be a heavily contested game. Do you have the score?
Yes. Unfortunately, they don't have the actual rankings on this bracket. Yeah, they don't, unfortunately. But Wisconsin-Whitewater, that was 73-70 in that game. The leading scorer was Aaron Thompson with 21, and Sean Wallace, the scoring point guard, scored 20 in that game. Next, they played in the NCAA sectional, which I guess would be the Sweet 16. They played Wheaton and won that game 55-52.
In their house.
That game was in Wheaton, Illinois. Won that game 55-52. Wheaton was way up there, real good team. On their side, they had two guys score 20 points in that game in the loss. Sean Wallace led the team with 18 points. Aaron Thompson contributed 14. It seems like that is the general trend. Those two guys will lead the team in scoring. For the next game, they played University of St. Thomas. This was the number one team in the country. They had not lost a game up until that point.
They were 27-0 in the regular season. So I believe they were 30-0 to that point, or 31-0 to that point. And you know, I listened to this entire game. Jeff broadcasting. It's really a treat for any of you out there that get a chance to be around radio, be around the internet for this game. Just listen to Jeff broadcast. He brings a lot of just energy, and he makes you feel like you're at the game. And I'm listening to this game, and one of the trends that I noticed was that WashU had a very difficult time breaking the press. They couldn't do it. A lot of times they'd rely on Wallace or Thompson to bring the ball up the court. And they were just getting a lot of turnovers. And it showed. I mean, they were down 41-33 in the first half.
That's right.
And something happened. Something happened at halftime.
Halftime adjustments.
Halftime adjustments. They came out and they broke the press. And that was really the main thing that was hindering their play. I mean, I feel like they were a better team than St. Thomas. They just couldn't, it's like when you're playing a team like Louisville. Louisville has just got this press, this defense that's just so dominating. But if you beat it, you can beat the team, and that's what I feel like they did to St. Thomas. And
they figured it out, and they actually doubled up St. Thomas in the second half, scoring 46 points while St. Thomas only scored 23. And this is again a team that hadn't been beaten up to that point, just amazing game. Tyler Nading, like you said, he kind of went off. He shot 10 of 11 from the field, scoring 28 points. Aaron Thompson 17 and Sean Wallace 13. Phenomenal. They end up winning that game 79-64.
And it really wasn't that close after a while. It was over. It was over once they got to about 8 minutes left in the game. It was over. But, I mean, that's just a testament, true testament to Mark Edwards and just halftime adjustments. He's a veteran coach. He's been there before. This is what championship teams do. This is where you separate. You know, all these teams, I said, in the top eight, you know, top five teams in the country, they're all talented. They're all in the upper echelon. But what separates them, what makes them championship teams, is just coaching adjustments. Because the talent's there. You know, the veteran leadership that's there. Everyone's got that. But when you know it's a true difference with just how they game plan certain things. And it's not just basketball. It's X's and O's.
Yep.
It's all the extra. And there is some effort in there, too. But that's what I really noticed. That was just great coaching. Another coaching tactic that I noticed that I want to talk with you about how this Final Four is going to go. It seems like Mark Edwards has been riding Sean Wallace and Tyler Nading throughout, and Aaron Thompson for that matter, throughout the tournament. And do you think that with all the minutes that they've been doing, you saw what Johnny Flynn did with Syracuse, with all the minutes that they've been compiling, do you think that they still have the legs, you know, this deep into the playoffs, or does it matter? You know, does just being in the Final Four mean that they're going to have that extra energy, that extra reserve to play at a high quality basketball that they've been doing?
Well, I'm going to answer that question through the numbers. It looks like in this game, this game against St. Thomas, you're right. His big players did play a lot of big minutes. Aaron Thompson only left the floor for 3 minutes. Tyler Nading, 31 minutes. Sean Wallace, he played 36 minutes. Cameron Smith, 34 minutes. So you have a valid point that you bring up. You know, are these guys going to be tired going into the Final Four? I think, number one, it is the Final Four. And so I guess you can't really throw it out, but it does make those kind of things a little more relevant because the adrenaline is going to be through the roof. I mean, these guys are going to be absolutely amped. They're not going to play harder for any other game, no matter what you say. And so I don't really worry about it from that perspective. But also, I think the number of minutes they've played has gone up in the tournament, but not by that much. Just from being at the games, kind of.
So they've just been used to this.
Yeah, I think this is just okay. Normal. I think what more than anything, I guess, and another thing I guess I want to bring up, their schedule really hasn't been that different either. I mean, this tournament is not really that the games haven't been that much more frequent than the regular season has, and even more than that. The travel hasn't been as bad as the UAA. And I was actually reading an article on D3 Hoops, which I'll talk a little bit more about later. But they were talking about how being in the UAA is like being in the NBA, where you have these road trips where you have to travel to the East Coast and play all these games over there. And, I mean, they'll play Rochester and Emory in a weekend, flying from New York to Atlanta, stuff like that. And pretty much all their games have been in the Midwest for this entire tournament up until, you know, they go to Salem today. And I think that they'll be fine. I think all those factors kind of will contribute to them being pretty comfortable in that state.
And you're right about that. And they also, in addition, they're only playing two games. This is not Syracuse. Now, I just want to bring this up because for anyone who didn't see this, Johnny Flynn, the point guard for Syracuse, very talented guy, he played in a series of four games for Syracuse, played in a six-overtime thriller, against UConn. And you know, they win, then they play an overtime game the next day. Throughout this whole series, you know, this two-game series, he plays in, I think it was 112 out of 115 possible minutes, which is the most ridiculous statistic I've ever heard. Now, these guys, Wallace, he plays 36. It's very likely that he could play 40 in the Final Four. It's very likely that guys like Cameron Smith, guys like Aaron Thompson can play, you know, 36, 37, 38 minutes. You know, if you combine that back-to-back days, I don't think it'll have as much of an effect as it did on a guy like Flynn, but still, I mean, that's a lot of minutes. You know, I think they'll be fine, but I just that's just my one concern. And I have to be concerned. You know, I'm a Bears fan, because you don't really hear much about the backups because they don't play that much. So I just want to make sure that we're not just wearing out our players, you know?
No, absolutely, absolutely. So, yeah, the men's game will be today, 5 o'clock in Salem, Virginia. So if you're on the East Coast, why don't you go ahead and drive over and check them out. Guilford is a school in North Carolina, Greensboro, North Carolina. I actually did not know that. They went 25-5 this season. They went 14-2 in the ODAC, which is their conference. They have played four games in the tournament, which is what you need to play to get to the Final Four, obviously, and they've won two of those games in overtime, and none of those games have been won by a margin more than 10 points. So I'm pretty confident that WashU will be able to beat this team. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on the game? What do we think it's going to take for WashU to win the game?
I think that turnovers is key. When we don't turn the ball over, when WashU does not turn the ball over, we have enough talent to beat any team in the country, and we've proven that. But it's just how you start. I know they finish strong. That's great. But how you start, we can't get in too big of a hole because we just haven't figured out how to game plan. So I just think, you know, I'm sure they've scouted Guilford a lot. They know what to expect. But I just think they have to come out strong and just limit the turnovers.
I agree with that. And just saw a statistic from the game, from the University of St. Thomas game. WashU gave up 17 points off of turnovers in the first half and only 4 in the second half. So I think you make a great point about that. But right now, quick public service announcement. Support minority education today and the great minds of tomorrow. The United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. To support the UNCF, visit uncf.org or call 1-800-332-UNCF. Brought to you by the UNCF and the Ad Council.
Okay, so we talked about WashU men. They beat the number one team in the country, St. Thomas, last weekend. They're on to the Final Four. Let's talk about the women. Now, the women also into the Final Four. They beat the number one team in Illinois Wesleyan,
who was also undefeated during the season.
I mean, that's a weekend. That's about as perfect as you can get. I mean, so the score was 58-53, one in Bloomington, Illinois. This is just a team that we weren't really sure about in the beginning of the season.
We weren't, absolutely. They lost their first game of the season. Oh, no, that was an exhibition. Never mind. They did lose some games early, though. They lost to Whitworth and Whitman College in a run. Had a little two-game losing streak, which is ridiculous because it's just two games. But, I mean, we really went crazy when we saw that, oh, they lost two games. But that's just the quality of WashU women's basketball, where they lose two games and you start to panic.
Yeah, and this is a team which a couple of years ago they made it to the Final Four. So we're expecting. We're almost spoiled, us sitting here in
absolutely.
The radio station.
Absolutely.
They're working hard on the basketball court. We're spoiled. We've seen these teams go to the Final Four. The men gone to the Final Four. That was the second time in 3 years, is it? I mean, second time in a row. Third time, actually.
Yeah.
And this could be the second in a row that they win the national championship.
Could be.
That's ridiculous. I don't think, when you look at all the teams around the country, there are a few that can hold that distinction.
Yeah.
But even so, we have this high standard.
And, I mean, how likely is it that both of your teams are going to make the Final Four in any sport, men's and women's? I mean, I think it's phenomenal. And I don't think it's a coincidence. I really think that the basketball program has really built up an identity. Again, I was talking about an article I read on D3 Hoops earlier, and it hit on a couple of key points. And obviously, the two coaches, Mark Edwards and Nancy Fahey, have both been at WashU for a very long time. Between them, five national championships. Nancy Fahey has won four with the women, and Mark Edwards, of course, winning last year. A couple of quotes I found interesting from the article. According to Mark Edwards, the basketball program is really like one program with two divisions. Fahey, this is a quote from Fahey, "It is a genuinely true and caring relationship between the two teams. We travel and play games on the road where we're in gyms where we're the only ones supporting each other. We understand what each program goes through, and I think it trickles down to our players." So I really feel that there is some sort of unity that brought the teams together and brought them both to the Final Four. And even though it's going to be in two different locations, I know they'll both be rooting for each other from across the country.
Yeah, so I noticed when I was listening to the radio broadcast of the men's game with Jeff, you know, the women's game wasn't broadcast. Right after the men are celebrating and they're cutting down the nets, Jeff is looking at a live feed, and I think the team also was looking at a live feed of the women because they were in the final minutes. They were up by a couple points on who are they playing? Illinois Wesleyan.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when the men saw them win, you know, they celebrate even more. And you know, the women are celebrating, they're cutting down the nets. There is this sort of collective just feeling of this group.
They really
family.
Care about each other.
Oh yeah, it's this sense of family.
Okay.
Extended family. And I think you might even be able to say that about WashU athletes as a whole.
Absolutely.
There's just this fraternity.
I'd say about 20 or 30 football players are on their way to Salem, Virginia right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or I guess they've already gotten there.
Phi Delta Bomb Squad, I'm
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And we wished them all a great time as they travel there. And anyone who traveled to Michigan to support the women's team, you know, thank you. We thank you for really showing some school spirit. Quick recap of the road to the Final Four for the women's team. First round, they faced Capital University at WashU. They won that game 77-72. Second round, they traveled to Bloomington, Illinois to face Transylvania University. And every time I see that university, I always think they're in Europe or something. It's weird. But they win that game 83-57. Then for the sectional semifinal, wow, sectional, it's so confused. The terminology is so confused. If I look at sectional semifinal, I have no idea what that means.
Yeah, that means nothing to me.
Yeah, it pretty much means the Sweet 16.
Let's just say Sweet 16. Yeah.
They face the College of St. Benedict, and they win that game 56-43. And then in the Elite Eight, they faced Illinois Wesleyan, and like you said, win by 5, 58-53. Today they face Amherst College, 4 p.m. Eastern, and that's going to be at Hope College in Holland, Michigan. Like you said, we really didn't know how good this women's team was going to be. We had our doubts at the beginning, but I really don't have any doubts anymore. I don't know about you. I've been very impressed by what this team's been able to do.
Yeah, and they have a lot of veterans also. I mean, it seems like this is the key to going far in the tournament. And we'll see also with the Division I tournament, we'll see like how that correlates. But their star players, Janice Evans, Zoe Unra, Jill Brandt,
and Jamie McFarland,
they're all seniors and juniors.
Yep.
I can't wait to just see how this plays out. It's almost kind of sad because when you look at the careers of these players, they're almost done. They're almost done. With the men, Tyler Nading, Sean Wallace. Even though Wallace, now I talked to Jeff yesterday about Wallace. There's a chance that because he redshirted last year, he was injured for much of last year. He still has 1 year of eligibility, and he may be at WashU another year. So. But in general, it's kind of sad to see these seniors go because we really, when we came to WashU, you look in the news and you look in the newspapers and you always see those names and they're finally graduating. It's a strange feeling.
Yeah, it is a strange feeling, but if they bring home a championship each, that feeling will feel right. I think it will feel very right. So we'll be rooting for them. In the meantime, it's the Division I college basketball tournament. Like you said, everyone's filling out brackets, gambling, even though it's illegal. We know it happens. Put it out there. But it's really one of the most exciting. I'd argue it's, other than the Super Bowl, it's the second most exciting just fan-generated interest time.
Yeah, that's great. That's
of the
great
entire
of
year.
That's a great way of describing it. Everyone just walking around when you're walking around campus, people are just randomly asking you, oh, so who have you got in your bracket? You see just in rooms, groups, they're talking about whatever, they're talking about homework and what they have to do, but they're also asking, oh, so did you pick Western Kentucky over Illinois in that upset, 12-5 upset? I was just sitting right before we got on air, one of the guys, K-Word guys, he's like, so who you got? I was like, oh, I'm picking UNC. He's like, yeah. Of course.
And the lovely part is you really don't have to know a darn thing about the tournament.
I know. That's the best part.
You can pretty much just fill in names and that'll just take care of itself. It's a very wonderful thing.
So I have this theory that there's a certain amount of knowledge that's optimal in college basketball because once you get to a certain point, it does not help you anymore. You look at these bracketologists. They call themselves bracketologists like it's some science. Joe Lunardi, you guys from ESPN. They know so much.
Mm-hmm.
They've studied the numbers, they've studied the matchups and everything, and they still don't do that much better than the common person who knows nothing and pick teams based on which jersey they like better.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's just chance. When you look at these teams, it's not as much parity as the NFL, where just any team can beat any team at one moment. But there are enough teams that are good enough that if they play really well, they can make an upset. It's pretty simple. You look at UCLA, Virginia Commonwealth. Virginia Commonwealth could have easily beat UCLA. They lost by 1 point. Eric Maynard had a chance at the end to seal the deal, but he missed it. You see another team like American University. They were handling Villanova. Yeah, you look at the type of caliber of players that American gets, and the type of caliber of players that Villanova gets, you would think, oh, normally, this shouldn't be close. But it's just, on a good day, American or Western Kentucky or Portland State or what have you can beat a team that doesn't necessarily play up to the par that they are normally at. So it's really difficult to make those predictions. And sometimes you just kind of look at you kind of just have this feel. There's no rationality to this, but you look at a Gonzaga Akron and you think, oh, well, Akron, they're a pretty good mid-major, but Gonzaga is a better mid-major. We'll pick Gonzaga. And you look at Texas, Minnesota. Well, Minnesota's the 10th seed and I have a couple other 10 seeds that I want to pick, but no, I'll go with Texas.
Yeah. It's almost like that. You're right. You're absolutely right. Number one. I mean, it's Okay, so you do need to know a little bit, but you don't really need to know that much because it really is a lot of random stuff. I mean, you and I both picked Western Kentucky, even though we didn't know anything about that
team. And a lot of people picked Western Kentucky. We don't know. I couldn't name you. I know a good amount about college basketball. But I could not name you one player.
Yeah.
I still can't. Or there's one guy named Oscar Mendez Valdez, which is awesome.
I don't even know what state Western Kentucky is in. But the point is... Okay. The point is...
Well done, Tim.
we knew that that upset was going to happen, and we picked it. And you can't explain it to anyone, but it really is just a feeling thing.
Yeah, and ultimately, the guys that... The people that win those ESPN brackets that are number one, they pick the most random stuff.
Absolutely.
It was a few years ago. I think it was 3 years ago that George Mason...
Nobody should have picked
as
George Mason.
11 seed. There were four people in, like, the world that picked George Mason to go to the Final Four.
Yeah.
And that was the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
But they did. They picked George Mason.
It's essentially a lottery. I mean, if you talk about statistics, it's basically like a 1 in a billion chance that you'll get the bracket completely right.
Just and it's never so happened. Picks. It's never happened before.
Yeah. It's not going to. Maybe one day. But I don't know. I started to do research, actually, because I'm like, oh, maybe I should, start looking at some trends. And immediately realized that there was no point to it because no amount of research is going to get you a George Mason or any kind of upset like that. It really just is a thing where you're going to have to make some good guesses and get lucky. But I did kind of figure out a small formula to at least narrow down who is going to win the tournament. And I wanted to share that with you. Pull that up. But in the meantime, if you want to share with us your brackets or, who you think is going to win or anything about both WashU and D1 basketball, please give us a call. Our number is 314-935-KWR. That's 314-935-5987. You're listening to KWR 90.3 FM in Clayton.
Or you can also email us at kwrsportstalk@gmail.com. We appreciate any type of feedback that we can get on your part.
This Absolutely.
This is a huge topic, and I know that my bracket is better than all of yours, so if you disagree with that, then please join it. I have a funny story. Before you get to your formula, I have just a little friendly pool, and one of my friends who was thinking about joining the pool, she didn't know that much about college basketball, but she really wanted to, and I'm sure she'll do better than me, but she was thinking about joining, and she asked me, she's like, well, so how does this work? Like, how do you determine who wins? Do you have to get everything in the bracket right? And I was like,
And you told her yes, didn't you?
I was like, yes. Since that has never happened in the history of the world.
Yeah.
So you have that formula?
Yeah.
Formula.
So basically, I was just looking at the past champions. I only did this for like 4 years because I really didn't feel like looking, and it's kind of hard to find as well. I looked at the champions from the past 4 years, and it seems to me that in order to win the championship, you have to be essentially ranked in the top 15 or 20. Let's say the top 15. Let's say the top 15. You have to essentially be ranked in the top 15 of the AP poll for a majority of the season. And so the examples I looked at were North Carolina from
2005.
From 2 years ago, or
it was
2006, I think.
It was around, it was when Sean May and Raymond Felton.
When they won the championship, that was the case. Last year with Kansas, that was the case. In the 2 years that Florida won back-to-back, that was also the case. Now, even though Florida didn't start in the top 20, or the top 25, actually, they got in and they stayed in. And I really think that that is the key to it. And so I looked at this year's teams, and there were really only, I think, 8 or 9 teams that qualifies for, and those are North Carolina, Pittsburgh, Connecticut, Duke, Oklahoma, Michigan State, Wake, Louisville, and then Memphis was kind of on the fringe. So if you picked anyone other than that, you are not going to win, because according to this formula that I've made up, no other team out of the field of 64 can possibly win the championship.
That's a very smart theory, because when you look at what that means that those teams were consistently among the top. And, I know there are teams that get hot streaks. That Syracuse is one example that maybe they can get hot and they can make it to the Elite Eight. But eventually, you can't play like that the whole time. If you're up in the top 15 for all weeks, that means that you were just that good.
Exactly.
Even on a bad night, you still were winning games.
Exactly.
So That's a very smart theory. I was wondering if Louisville would be on that list, because it seems like they've kind of risen to the top in the past month.
Yeah,
I mean they got blown out by Connecticut, I believe, a couple months ago. But now they're kind of Big East champions.
Exactly, they were kind of a team that kind of was out of it and came in, and it really, you don't have to continually rise. I mean, there were a couple of teams out of the ones I mentioned, the examples I mentioned, they would get into like the top five. They maybe even hit number one. They get beat a couple times, then they rise back up to like 15, but then they'd come back down. So it really is just a trend. You really just got to stay in that top 15 for the majority of the year in order to win a championship. So Louisville is in that list, but they are toward the end of it just because they were one of the less consistent teams out of that consistent group.
So speaking of Louisville, I want to break this down into actual games. We want to predict and see where we can see if we can get a little consensus of things, or just maybe we can just examine your bracket, examine my bracket. I want to start with the Midwest bracket. This is where Louisville is in. They're pretty much heavily favored to come out of this bracket. A lot of people have Louisville as their national champions. You know, Louisville, North Carolina, and Pitt are the three very popular choices. Now, what do you think about Louisville as far as getting out of this bracket? Any potential matchups? Do you have any upsets in this bracket? What can you tell me about the Midwest?
Well, I always make my bracket with a strategy, and I'm interested in hearing what your strategy is. But my strategy is essentially pick a team that no one else is picking. And a lot of people pick Louisville, so I decided to stay away from them. I have them losing in the Elite Eight to Wake Forest. I have them losing the Sweet 16 to Wake Forest.
That's one that I thought about for a long time. Now I wish I could have your strategy of just throwing together a bracket in like 3 minutes. Because I'll be honest, I probably spent a couple hours.
I couldn't probably do it.
And I bet I spent about 10-15 minutes on just this game, Louisville Wake Forest. Because Wake Forest, now they're playing first round. They're playing Cleveland State, my home city university.
Apparently they're pretty good too.
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I'm worried about that because I really wanted to pick Cleveland State, but I also just thinking about the chances of them beating Wake and just comparing it to I want the best bracket possible. I picked Wake. I picked Wake over Arizona. That was my big upset in that one. But when you compare Louisville and Wake, they have kind of similar styles, but I think Louisville's just better than Wake at certain things. Now, Al-Farouq Aminu is one of the stars, and Jeff Teague, those are the star players for Wake Forest. They're guard forward types, you know, about 6'4", 6'5". Jeff Teague is about 6'4". Aminu's taller. He's about 6'8". But they can really play. These are guys that you'll see next year, a couple years from now, in the NBA making millions of dollars. Louisville doesn't really have that type of star player. Earl Clark is pretty good, a small forward type guy. Terrence Williams is pretty good. But they're all just so solid, and they just swarm. And, when you compare those styles, I just think Louisville's just better at every facet of the game than Wake Forest, just a little bit. So I picked them. But I could see Wake Forest just, you know, when you have NBA-type players on your team, you know, throw all the other rules out of the window, because a guy like Carmelo Anthony can come out of nowhere and
lead
teams to the championship.
And that was my other draft strategy. It was, for, number one, pick games that no one else is picking. And the second one was pick teams with NBA players on them, because it seems like every team that wins the championship has a Carmelo or Joakim Noah or a Sean May or whoever that's going to end up in the NBA in a couple years. So that was why I picked Wake. They say that Wake has three first-round picks.
Yeah, I just can't name you the third one, but
yeah, something Johnson or something.
Wake, the only issue with them is they occasionally don't show up.
Yep.
So they better play pretty hard against Cleveland State, or I'll be happy. You know, if they lose, that might screw up my bracket a little bit, but I'll be happy. Other than that, I have Arizona over Utah. Arizona, I've been picking them every year. They've been the tournament for the past 25 years, and you could argue that they really did not deserve to be in this one. You know, they were the least deserving team out of all teams, but I always pick them at least one or two rounds, and for some reason I'm doing it now because they have NBA-type players.
Yep.
Now, in the past, this has not worked out for me.
Yeah.
But they have Jordan Hill, Chase Budinger, like these guys are really talented. They just, for some reason, lose like a ton of games.
Yeah, I definitely picked Arizona, and I think a lot of people picked Arizona over Utah, and probably shouldn't just because of how good Utah sports has been lately. But like you said, the NBA talent, that really was what swayed me over. The player you were talking about with Wake, that third NBA player, his name is James Johnson. He's a forward. He averages about 15 a game and 8 rebounds. And I think it's impressive where Wake is considering what happened to their coach over the offseason and the fact that they're, you know, in the thick of things.
Yeah, so Skip Prosser, this happened actually about a year and a half ago. He passed away, and that Skip Prosser was pretty much, he was a mainstay for this program for about 10, 15 years at Wake. And they really didn't have an identity after a new coach stepped in, but new coach, his name skips me right now, but Gaudio, I believe, he's come in and just established a strong program. He's got his own players in, so.
Dino
Gaudio?
The big Dino, yeah.
Okay, good. Good, my knowledge is still there.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
On point.
So my other upset here,
yeah.
And this is all for
We're still in the Midwest, right?
We're still in the Midwest. Okay. This is all for state pride. I'm picking Dayton, the 11 seed, over West Virginia.
Okay. Now, again, West Virginia, another team with some NBA talent on it. So I went ahead and picked them, but I had them getting beat by Kansas in the next round.
Okay, and that's probably smart. Yeah, I have Kansas also. Now, the thing about Dayton, the reason why, also just not just because they're, you know, from my state, but there's a player that used to see you playing rec ball. His name is Marcus Johnson. He's one of their solid players for their team. So if I ever know someone that's on one of these teams, then I have to pick them.
Yeah, well, you know, I have three people that were in Maryland, so. That I played with or against, so I definitely picked them to win, and they were able to pull that upset over on the West bracket.
Oh, yeah, and we'll get to Maryland soon enough. We'll get to Maryland soon enough. It was one of the most intriguing teams.
Who'd you have in the Boston College USC? That was a tough one for me. I had no idea who to pick.
I picked USC, and you know what? I picked them over Michigan State, too.
Wow.
Because DeMar DeRozan, that's the only thing I can say. This guy, people are saying he is the most talented freshman of this year, out of everyone. He's probably going to the NBA after this. He's probably going to do what O.J. Mayo did. He'll be a lottery pick. Mm-hmm. This guy's a swing man, about 6'7". He can do a lot of things. I just see him as a Carmelo Anthony type. I know you can't just say everyone's going to be Carmelo, but this is a guy who could be a catalyst to this team. Southern Cal, really, you know, they haven't played that well. They're like 21-12 this year, but they won the Pac-10, and that shows something. They have some resolve, so I'm picking them in the Sweet 16.
All right. Well, yeah, I have Boston College beating USC, actually. I don't know, ACC pride, I guess. I guess that was my reason for it. Boston College is a pretty good team, but I have them being beat by Michigan State in the round of 32, so... Who do you have coming out of the Midwest, you said? Do you have Louisville?
Yes, Louisville over Kansas.
Okay. I have Kansas over Wake Forest, actually. And again, that was just my strategy of picking a team that I think not too many other people are picking. And I think they at a point in time, they looked like a fantastic basketball team. And obviously, they've been here before, some of their players, at least, as they...
Sharon Collins is back, so...
Right, as they won the national championship last year, so... We'll see what happens there. Hopefully, they don't lose in the first round,
which could happen. But I don't think so. I think they were playing when I left. They're playing North Dakota State, and they were winning convincingly. So I'm pretty sure they won already. But let's go to the West bracket. And since this is all on our minds. Let's talk about Maryland. You know, what can they do? This is a 10 seed. This is a team that they had a strong ending to their season. And that's why they're in the tournament. They were a bubble team for pretty much the entire year. They made it. They beat number 7 Cal, 84-71. This is, I got a text message from Tim. I was at work. You know, I was away from the TVs. I couldn't see anything. And I get a text message that's all caps. There we go, Maryland.
Yeah, so basically what happens is I'm a big Maryland fan. Well, I always have been. And so, got a couple guys that, like I said, I played with that are on the team now. And so, always root for them. And I had just gotten out of class and got some lunch. And I'm like, you know what? I think I should go watch the tournament. Because, as David knows, I don't watch games. For some reason, I'm too ADD to sit down and watch a game. But I said, you know what? Maryland's on. I might as well go watch them. So I went over to the Duck, into that little cafe, sat down, and what game was on? Purdue Northern Iowa was on. And I was so angry because nobody wants to see that game.
Nobody wanted to see Purdue
Northern Iowa. I couldn't name you a fan of either one of those teams. I mean, seriously. So that game ended, and then the Maryland game came on after that, and I was able to watch most of the second half. And it got down to about 4 minutes left, and Maryland's up by like 13 at this point. And really just, I mean, it just went on a run and just started blowing Cal out. And then Cal hits a three to pull it within 10, and I'm like, uh-oh, I've seen Maryland collapse before. And then I got a phone call, and I had to go take it outside. And by the time I came back in, Inside Edition was on CBS. And, yeah, come to find out, Maryland pulled it out. A team that barely made it into the tournament, and now they're in the second round. Very, very proud of the Terps there. And it was all coaching, because their team is not very good. They've got Vasquez, who's a great player. He's a great player. And they've got a lot of good supporting players, but I think their level of talent just does not comparable to any of the teams of this tournament. I think they're not very good at all.
Yeah, and you're right about that. I've ever since Grievous Vasquez came to Maryland a few years ago, I've been following his game. I really like his game. He's a tall point guard. He can, when he's on, he's very versatile. He can drive to the basket. He can shoot. He gets his assists, but the issue with him is sometimes he's a poor decision maker. He doesn't always, and he gets a lot of turnovers when he's off. I mean, it's a snowball effect. Either when he's on, he'll get you a triple double. When he played against UNC, played against Ty Lawson, I would argue is the best point guard this side of Sean Wallace. I would argue that. Grievous Vasquez scored 31 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists. I mean, that's a ridiculous game. I don't think there's been maybe one other triple-double this entire year.
Yeah.
So you see what he can do when he's on, but it's really him and a bunch of role players. We'll see if they can actually beat Memphis, because Memphis has some trouble. And just a quick update before we do our public service announcement. Oklahoma State just beat Tennessee.
77-75.
Syracuse won a close one. Syracuse won a big one.
59-44 over Kansas. Stephen Austin.
Yeah, and Kansas won a close one.
Kansas wins 84-74 over North Dakota State.
And so, Marquette wins.
And Marquette beats LSU. 58-50. Who's USU? 58-57.
Utah State University.
Okay, there we go.
And with that, here's our public service announcement brought to you by Timothy Philip Taylor.
Have you guys heard about that guy upstate who lost his beer belly playing with his kids? Not surprising, considering regular physical activity and a healthy diet can decrease your weight and improve your health. Learn more at smallstep.gov, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and this station, KWIR 90.3 FM.
So we've been breaking down the bracket here, doing our best to provide you the perfect bracket, brought to you by KWIR Sports Talk. You can call in if you disagree with us or just want to talk. 314-935-KWIRS.
And it looks like we have a lot of listeners, so feel free to call in or email us at kwirsportstalk@gmail.com. We're in the West bracket right now. Do you have any upsets?
Well, I had the Maryland upset, which is really minor because I bet you about 55% of people actually picked Maryland in that game or more. Other than that, this was my most conservative one. I picked Marquette in the Sweet 16 over Missouri. But other than that, I picked Purdue over Washington in the second round. But other than that, it's pretty straightforward. I didn't really see much there. So
yeah, I agree with you. I did pick Purdue over Washington. And that was it as far, and I picked the Maryland upset, but that was it. There are no other upsets. I actually have, I have Missouri beating Memphis in the, Sweet 16. So that was, I guess that's my biggest upset of that bracket, but I have Connecticut going all the way and they are my national champions.
Okay. Yeah. And I have Connecticut going to the final game against North Carolina.
So you have them beating Louisville?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, so I just think that even with the injury of Andre Dyson, they are they're just such a solid team. And Haseem Thabeet just impresses me every time I see him. Yeah, he impresses me a little bit more. When you look at a defensive presence, you look at the Dikembe Mutombo, Hakeem Olajuwon type, he's that guy. But he does have he has some offensive skill that's being more and more refined every time I see him. So, you know, he had a play early on in the game yesterday where he was running down the court and point guard threw him this outlet pass that normally, you know, only like the smaller guys would be able to handle and put up a shot. But he's just running in stride, catches the ball and throws up a shot and goes in. You know, you don't see too many 7'2" big men running down the court in stride, catching a ball and putting up a shot all in stride. You know, I'm very impressed by Thabeet, and I just think that his presence alone will get him through a lot of these games.
Yeah, and I picked Connecticut as my national champion again because I don't think many people are picking them. I think they were a little scared off by the fact that Pittsburgh was able to beat them, and they lost in the conference tournament. And so I thought that they might be a nice little pick there. Why don't we continue on to the East region in the bracket. Pittsburgh, obviously the number one team here. My upsets, I have Portland State over Xavier just because everyone's in love with Xavier. And Xavier's really good, don't get me wrong, but I really like to see them lose.
Yeah, they're probably the weakest four seed. And I know someone else who picked Portland State. I don't think it's the dumbest pick ever. My argument would be who do you know on Portland State, but also who did we know on Western Kentucky.
Exactly.
So I can't, you know, that's a weak argument.
I guess this is a sub rule to my rule, but I like to pick against teams that everyone else is really in love with, and I feel like it might be a little unjustified. I mean, Xavier, like I said, Xavier's good. They beat Memphis, but I don't really know if the love of Xavier is really that justified so that I would kind of fall into that trap. So I picked against them in the first round. I picked Portland State to beat them there. Other upsets, I picked UCLA over Villanova in the second round. And I had picked Minnesota over Texas. I lost that one, obviously, because Texas won last night. And I have Duke over Pittsburgh in the Elite Eight. So I have Duke going to the Final Four.
I have Duke over Pittsburgh in the Elite Eight. I cannot.
Now it's not going to happen. Now it's not going to happen because David picked it.
This one, I was just so upset with myself because everything tells me that Pittsburgh should dominate all these teams because DeJuan Blair, they have a big man that can just bang inside, and most of these teams are guard-driven.
Yep.
Villanova, they do have a big man, but they're historically, just or in the recent history of Jay Wright teams, they're guard-driven. Texas, A.J. Abrams, their best player, guard-driven. Duke, they're not guard-driven, but they have a lot of, like, 6'6" guys. John Shire, the shooter, Gerald Henderson, swingman. A lot of these teams, they just don't have a really solid big man. Florida State, they have a pretty good big man, but not as good as Blair. I mean, no one is, but there's no Thabeet in this bracket. There's no one that can really stop him.
Right.
But all that being said, when Duke is such a pain to beat, like, especially when they're shooting well.
Hey, you said it yourself. Coaching is as important in this tournament as ever, and Duke's got the best coach.
Duke has the best coach, and he maximizes his talent. I mean, a guy like John Shire really isn't all that athletic. He's not that big. He's like 6'4", like 190 pounds. But what he can do, he can bring the ball up the court. He can protect the ball, and he's gotten a lot better at shooting. He's not just a spot-up shooter anymore. He can dribble, drive, you know, go off a pick, run around a pick, catch a pass, shoot. Like, he's very versatile at what he can do. And Gerald Henderson, I mean, he can do anything.
Gerald Henderson is an absolute beast. Look forward to seeing him in the NBA in a couple years. David, I tell you what, I wanted to pick Florida State over Pittsburgh. That's really the one I wanted to pick because Tony Douglas is the truth.
Oh, man.
That guy is the absolute truth. And I wanted to pick that one. But I do want Pittsburgh. I do think Pittsburgh's going to go pretty far. And it was also like a chance thing because if I pick Pittsburgh to lose there and they advance, you know, I felt like it was probably a better chance of them winning that game than losing it. So I went ahead and had them advance one more round. Did you have any ups? Did you have any other upsets?
Honestly, my bracket was about the same as you, except for I picked Tennessee over Oklahoma State. Got that wrong. I picked Texas over Minnesota. Picked UCLA over Villanova. Duke over UCLA. We have pretty much the same bracket.
Okay.
So, which means it's perfect because we are. Okay, we're sports talk. We're talking sports. We're perfect.
I mean, that's not at all what that means. That just means we do a radio show.
We're perfect. We're perfect. and don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
Yeah.
Okay, last bracket, last one. You want to go to the last one?
So. Yeah. We both picked Western Kentucky, and I'm assuming that you have Gonzaga beating them in the next round?
Yes.
Okay. I had Arizona State over Temple. I know a lot of people love the Temple upset.
I have Arizona State in the Elite Eight, so I'm
hoping
I'm hoping that...
Wow, you have them beating Arizona? I mean, Oklahoma?
Oklahoma, yes.
You have Arizona State beating Oklahoma?
Yes,
wow.
I do. Yes, I do. That is my big... That's the one that not that many people are picking, but you know that would distinguish me from the rest of the pack. Or it could make my bracket terrible, but that's okay.
Yeah.
If they lose to Temple, I will be very upset.
Wow.
Man.
Wow, I hope they don't, for your sake. I had Syracuse beating Arizona State there, and then I had Michigan losing to Oklahoma in the next round. I did pick Michigan to beat Clemson. That was correct. I do think Oklahoma, I don't know. I didn't know how to feel about Oklahoma. They play terrible down the stretch, but I don't know. Maybe they'll wake up in the tournament. So I kind of think they might lose to Michigan, you know. They might lose at any point. So that's why I'm not really that upset with your pick. I think that might actually happen. But I think it's pretty clear that North Carolina is going to the Final Four out of this bracket.
Yeah, I mean, they play – I don't know if it's so clear, but if they play Oklahoma in the Elite Eight, that would be a very tough matchup.
I think Gonzaga would be a tough matchup in the Elite Eight or the Sweet 16, excuse me.
Gonzaga's a tough matchup. They remind me of college football. They remind me of Oklahoma in college football. I know it's kind of hard if we're comparing apples and grapefruits, but from the standpoint that Gonzaga.
Wait a minute, which one is grapefruits?
I don't know.
Okay,
I don't know.
Okay.
I like grapefruits more than apples, so college football.
Okay.
Grapefruits.
Okay.
Okay. But I make that comparison because Gonzaga is one of those teams that they really beat up on inferior teams. Like, you'll see their scores. They'll win by like 50. And the championship, like the WCC championship over St. Mary's, they won pretty big. The semifinals, they won by like 60 points.
Yeah.
Like 50 points.
They've always been a very high scoring team.
And they're kind of like, they hot dog it. I don't know. They run up the score.
They cry on the court when they
cry
lose.
On the court. Like when they played Akron, that was a close game for like that's pretty fun. When they play Akron, you know, it's close for like 30 minutes, and then all of a sudden Gonzaga wins by like 20, 25. So I want to see them play the big boys and see if they can actually compete with the big boys.
Yeah, and I mean the reason I was going to pick North Carolina, but I didn't. Because of Lawson, it looks like he's in a little bit of trouble. He's battling a toe injury. And as a person who's had some toe issues in the past, when your big toe is sore, it's pretty much the most important. it's pretty bad. It'll slow you down a lot because you've got to push off of that foot constantly. And so that's going to be a tough injury. But if he can recover from that, they have to be the favorite. It just looks like he's going to have a little bit of trouble doing that. So it was hard for me to still, even with that knowledge, not put North Carolina in the final two. So that's what I did. I went ahead and had North Carolina over Duke in an ACC classic matchup.
I have the same exact thing on mine. Same exact thing. I think I just about Arizona State against Syracuse. I think that just Syracuse, their run, it's over. Arizona State's got an NBA-type player, mm-hmm. James Harden,
mm-hmm.
And Jeff Pendergrass, pretty good.
Absolutely.
Also. So I think they can get through there. And once you're against Oklahoma, Oklahoma plays everyone tough or close. So regardless, Blake Griffin will probably have 25 points, 20 rebounds, but you got to see how everyone else performs. I mean, they're more balanced than people give them credit for, but
not lately.
But in a one-on-one game matchup, I think it's very plausible for a team like Arizona State to win, and then you know North Carolina over Duke in the South versus East.
So you have in your Final Four on the other side, you have Louisville losing to Connecticut.
Louisville losing to Connecticut.
So you have North Carolina over Connecticut in the final, and I have Connecticut over North Carolina in the final. For some reason, I feel like neither one of those teams is going to make it to the final now.
That would be pretty funny. But if it went down to the wire, then it would just prove that we do have the best brackets ever. It would just prove that.
Yeah. We had an email from Andrew Barnes. He picked Memphis. He says he doesn't really have any reasons. It's just because Basketball Prospectus said they were going to win. And I think that's a perfectly good reason.
He does very well with these brackets because he does check these prospectus websites. And it gives a little statistical breakdown of how certain matchups are going to work.
Statistical reasons, yeah.
Yeah, and for me, I think that it's helpful, but sometimes I kind of like just doing it on my own because it would be the ultimate just success if I just personally I was the great prognosticator.
It's true. It's true.
But if I were, you know, if I were putting money on something, then maybe I should use some prospectus.
Yeah, then I think that's probably a good a good reason to do so. You know, put some money into the research to get some money back. I think it's a good investment. I don't know. Not that I condone gambling or anything, and I mean I'm actually prohibited from gambling as an NCAA athlete. So. I don't really know anything about that. But if I did, I think that would be a good thing to do. We're short on time here, just a couple minutes left. I don't know. Is there anything else?
Well, we pretty much exhausted all the college basketball. I just wanted to bring up something real quick about former Ohio State Buckeyes star Maurice Claret. You know, his story from the top to the bottom has been pretty publicized. But now he's in jail right now for various things, possession of guns and driving drunk and all that. He's writing a blog from his prison. He's trying to rehabilitate. I don't know when he gets out of jail, but he's just talking about sort of his life, the life lessons that he's learned. It's very well written. It's something that is meant to be pretty inspirational, and it is. And I just suggest to anyone who just wants to learn about the perspective of someone who's trying to rehabilitate himself. It seems like he's turned the corner, and I think you should just check out Maurice Claret's blog. You know, all my best wishes to him and his return.
Just want to offer a little bit of perspective on the Jay Cutler. I mean, it's been this huge news in the NFL over the last couple of weeks. Basically, they wanted Josh McDaniel was a coach from the Patriots, so he wanted a Patriots quarterback, someone that would help him teach the players and the coaches the offense. And so that was it was basically like a no offense to Jay Cutler, but we want Matt Castle situation. And somehow Josh McDaniel and the coaching staff wasn't able to portray that to Jay Cutler. And as a result, Jay Cutler's on the trading block. I suggest Cleveland get him right away.
Okay, well, that would be great. I would love that. But there you have it. We're talking sports, K-Word Sports Talk. I'm David.
I'm Tim.
And thanks a lot for listening. We appreciate it.
And have a great weekend. Support the Bears. If you can, listen in to the games or watch them. If they make it to the final, then you'll be able to watch the game on TV. So we'll see you next week. I'll be gone. I'll be in Las Vegas next week. But David will be here.
Jeff will be here.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Take care. So long.